Hello there. It's time for Most Things Kenobi.
Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Most Things Kenobi, a podcast about Obi-Wan Kenobi and all things Star Wars. I'm your host, Lauren.
And I'm your host, Leanne.
And this week we are following up with part two of our series about the actors who play Obi-Wan Kenobi. Last week we did Sir Alec Guinness, and this week we are doing Ewan McGregor.
How do we even start this one? There's so much to cover.
I know, the amount of material is overwhelming. I tried to quickly rewatch just his scenes. It's not possible to do it quickly.
No. You know, and our focus in these episodes is talking about what each of these actors brought to the table as Obi-Wan in their portrayal of Obi-Wan. And we said how very little time on screen Alec Guinness had comparatively to Ewan McGregor, who now has a whole ass series on him being Obi-Wan Kenobi. And truly, when I was thinking about it, his performance has gotten so nuanced and so good as time has gone on.
Yes. I thought the same thing.
Which kind of works with the fact that when we first see Obi-Wan, Ewan as Obi-Wan, he's kind of in that Padawan, not quite grown up, but grown up enough. And that's how he is in real life. And he's aged progressively as Obi-Wan has by the time he shows up in the Kenobi series. And it just works.
It's true. It's perfect. And I think as an actor, he becomes better. Like, he was always a good actor. But Ewan McGregor went from being kind of like a heartthrob to like a fucking good actor, especially in like the last 10 years. So to have him be kind of at his peak, I would say, as an actor coming back to Obi-Wan, that was really awesome. I think it was the perfect timing for the story they wanted to tell.
Oh, and he delivered. He delivered. I mean, he, by the time he's in Revenge of the Sith, his performance is excellent. I mean, say what you will about the damn dialogue, yes. But, you know, when it comes down to him and Ewan's fight, which we've dissected Hayden's. Countless time. What did Hayden's I say? Fight.
Ewan. He fought himself.
He did fight himself.
He did, kind of, actually, yeah.
He did. Okay, him and Hayden's fight, the duel, is so good. And then his lines afterwards, which is just so heartbreaking. It just, the extension of it is continued in the Kenobi series. Oh, to the next duel that he has with Vader, and it's just so fucking heartbreaking, and it's so good.
It's very poetic.
He's really taken I'm gonna, I'm like my grandmother, may she rest in peace. I can't keep the name straight, the character, the person, the actor, the He performs Obi-Wan so perfectly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hate seeing him cry. In any movie.
I know. Of course, he introduced his amazing sobbing skills back in Moulin Rouge.
Let me tell you something. My favorite Ewan movie of all time is Moulin Rouge. I still, to this day, listen to that soundtrack and belt out all of the songs that he sings. His singing voice is phenomenal.
And the fact that he was not a trained singer.
It's amazing.
But Nicole Kidman kind of was thought of as a singer, and she, I'm sorry, guys, but she's pitchy.
Yeah, she is.
she's a little pitchy dog, as Randy says on, what was that show? I can't even remember the show.
The Talent? No, that's the other one. Is it?
You know what I mean, though. Oh my God, I forgot what
it's the music one, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh my God.
What is it?
I keep thinking America's Got Talent, which is not. Yeah, that's American the other Idol. Guy.
American Idol. Whatever.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Whatever.
Hello, that's going to be Alzheimer's. A no for me, dog.
Last week it was dementia. This week it's Alzheimer's. Listen. Our brains, they struggle.
It's been a long week and it's only Tuesday.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Well, I think that Moulin Rouge, I think he filmed it right after Phantom Menace.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, I think actually I have it reversed. I think he did Moulin Rouge and then did Phantom Menace. Because there was some rumor that George Lucas bulldozed the Moulin Rouge set to build Phantom Menace. Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true, but that is a rumor I remember hearing back in the day. But
well, I love a lot of Ewan movies. I mean, he's so varied. He can go from drug addict to courting a courtesan to motorcycling his way as himself across the globe to Jedi.
From what I've heard, what Hayden has said is Ewan is nothing like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
Which is a testament to what a good actor he is, I think.
Oh, I love watching the behind the scenes of him fighting, even for the Kenobi show.
Yes. Yeah.
I just love these actors when they duel with a lightsaber, fake one.
I know.
It's just so fucking good.
Ugh. It's so good. It never gets old. It really doesn't. Those are the parts of the movie I would fast forward to almost always.
I know. He's good. He's really good. He just, well, we were talking about Alec Guinness last week and how it kind of set the bar for what Ewan would then bring to the films to try and be that younger version of Alec Guinness's Obi-Wan. And he does it. I mean, he's really close. Even in looks. Yes. It's kind of weird.
Yes, they say, I don't know what it's called, but it's the triangle between the eyes, the nose, and the mouth. Mm-hmm. That his is the exact proportion of Alec Guinness's. Ah. Like that you could just overlap their faces and it would be almost the same layout, proportion-wise, which is pretty crazy.
That is crazy.
But something I did notice, going back to watch everything, he's really sort of immature in the first one.
Oh, yes. Kind of snarky remarks and doubting things and, this isn't worth my time. And, Master, why do we care? Why are we doing this? And then, of course,
exactly
when Qui-Gon takes Anakin as Padawan, there's that moment, which is actually, it works for him being immature.
He's letting it show on his face, and he doesn't do that as much later in the... I mean, it's not that he doesn't show emotions, but I think if he has something negative that he's feeling, he's more likely to control that a little bit more as he gets older and older. But even, he says about Jar Jar, he's like, what's this?
Yeah.
Not who is this?
Yeah, exactly. What is this? Which... by this point in his age and his time as a Padawan, you would think he'd encountered other rare species. Yes. I guess they just wanted to show very obviously that he was coming from a place of youth, less polished.
Yeah, and when Qui-Gon says he still has much to learn, it's like, yeah, that's true. He's extremely mature at the same time, and I like that they showed that he's in that kind of transitional stage, and I think Ewan portrays that really well, because sometimes he's got a twinkle in his eye, and he's being kind of sassy and funny, and then he'll say something really insightful, like when he told the boss Gungan, who I can't remember his name now, God forgive me, that they had a symbiotic relationship with the Naboo, and that whatever affects one is going to affect the other. And, that was very insightful for someone who had just called one of those people or Gungans a thing. So he has both sides. And I think he does a great job portraying that in the first movie. And I do feel like in Phantom Menace, we see a wider variety of emotions from him. Mm-hmm. Because we see sassy, we see annoyed, we see anger even at the end when he's dueling with Maul. Mm-hmm. And that's a really rare thing to see on Obi-Wan Kenobi's face. So.
Right. And how few times do we see that following? We see a lot of it in Clone Wars, but still only certain moments. And it usually has to do with Maul.
Yes, right. Exactly.
He's the one guy that gets under his skin, and for rightful reason.
Every time. Yeah. So I think it's kind of interesting that he shows so much emotion in Phantom Menace, because we had just talked about Alec Guinness doing the total opposite, where his performance is really small and minuscule. And I feel like Ewan's starts much bigger. And I think as we get more through like Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith and then the Kenobi series, it's much more like Alec Guinness's performance.
Yes. Well, there's a time progression there. So they gotta show how he matured and how far or how much he matured. And that's not even including Clone Wars Obi-Wan, which we get much more of.
Right.
And the same could be said for Hayden as Anakin. I mean, oh my God, the writing in Attack of the Clones is so over the top to make him so immature, right?
It's so bad. Yeah, it's painful.
It's just, you don't need to do all of that. But it does also contrast Obi-Wan's emotions, where he's trying to stifle Anakin. He's trying to rein him in. He's often exasperated. You know, he's dealing with what's going on with Kamino and all of the knowledge there, while also trying to wrangle an unruly, very adolescent acting Padawan of his own. The whole thing is kind of very exaggerated, but it does show that we start to get to see the general side of Obi-Wan, the Jedi Knight that we get a lot more of in Clone Wars. And by the time we get to Revenge of the Sith, you know, he's really excelled. He's got the, we always talk about his costume, how it's buttoned up kind of tight by Revenge of the Sith. It's a lot looser prior to that. That's because he's buttoned up a little more. And you get to see that. And Ewan does a fantastic job of that. He's an eye actor, but he's also, like, his subtle facial features can speak volumes, which is something that Alec Guinness excelled at. So I think Ewan, knowing this, had to really kind of bring that to the table, because Obi-Wan is subtle at times in his older age.
For sure. You can see how he goes from being kind of brash and kicking with both legs out, you know, his like signature move from Phantom Menace. Yes. Like, you never see that come back. As he matures, it makes sense. I mean, that's how we are, right? When we're teenagers, we are goofier and definitely ruder, probably most of us. And then you mature and you have life experiences. Yes. And even your gestures can become more reserved over time.
Yeah.
So I think it was a very honest and realistic portrayal. And like, really insightful, too, because Ewan was quite young doing all that.
God, I remember the press junkets of Phantom Menace, and they're all so fucking young. Like, him and Natalie Portman are so young.
I know.
I mean, she's like basically a preteen.
Yes.
And he's like a very young adult. And they had like that early 2000s like clothing, the attire. It's so bad.
And like, I'm pretty sure he was wearing like eyeliner during time period also.
Like the goth.
Because that was like, was the thing at the time.
It was very scene. Yes. A very emo MySpace scene.
Yes.
But he did it. He wore it well. I mean, he can go from being a polished actor to whatever the hell that was, with like safety pins keeping his shirt tail together. Like, you know, that whole shit. God, I love the early 2000s.
That's so Ewan, though, right? Like, he likes to go to total extremes, both as characters. And then, like, I think once he's had to play a character, I feel like he then, like, cleans the slate totally and goes the opposite direction in, like, his personal life.
Yeah.
So when he's all buttoned up for Obi-Wan, then he goes, like, 1990s goth when he's not on set.
I actually really like the eyeliner on him. Made his blue eyes pop, you know?
He can pull off anything.
He really
could. Honestly, I'm pretty sure.
Really could. Oh, God. I'm just thinking of his movies and, like, all the different looks he's had.
Seriously. And, the variety of the kind of character he can play.
From soft and vulnerable. What's the one where his dad dies?
Oh, my God. Beginners.
That's it. Oh. God.
It's one of the best movies ever. And Christopher Plummer as, like, Ewan and Christopher Plummer actually look also very, very similar.
They do.
It made so much sense to cast them as father and son.
He's so handsome in that movie, but it's so heart-wrenching.
The scene where, like, I think the woman moves out and he just puts his hands over his face and leans into the wall. I was like, that is such a real gesture.
That is so real. If I had a dollar for every time I did it.
I know, right? I know. I really, like, I have done that personally. I don't even know how many times. It was, ugh. Something I noticed about his performance in Attack of the Clones that really stood out to me is his mannerisms are much more like Qui-Gon's.
Yeah.
He kind of moves that way. He has, like, when he'll enter a room, especially with a hood, it's like, that could be Qui-Gon. And he's got the beard and the long hair. It's like he's channeling that part of himself more in Attack of the Clones than Alec Guinness. And I feel like by Revenge of the Sith, it's much more Alec Guinness than anything else.
Well, we could attribute that to him trying to find himself as a character. Like, Obi-Wan's trying to find himself. Who I want to emulate my master because I respect and miss him, while also trying to navigate, you know, life in itself and become your own person. And then his own person is technically Alec Guinness's portrayal of Obi-Wan. So,
right, exactly.
Crazy.
How messed up is that?
That's hard to do.
And like, oh, it's amazing. And he did such a good job.
I really appreciate the way that Ewan is a quiet actor at times. He can be pensive. I'm thinking ahead mostly to the Kenobi series, where at this point, he's lived through everything we know from the Clone Wars, everything we know from the prequels.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, you know, and he brought a quietness and a reserved amount of acting that really stuck out as, okay, so we know as viewers the time gap that has taken place between everything. But as an actor, he's had X amount of years separated from being this character. So to credit him to come back into this role at a much different age for both the character and himself, and knowing all of the shit that has taken place that he wasn't a part of, this most of it was animated, and bring that, this lived in, you know, hardened, traumatized, we've said this last week in the last episode, you know, there's a quietness to him, a reflective way about him that I think he completely nailed. And I'm not even talking about the crying that took place when he and Anakin / Vader had their moment, where it was just his face and his eyes and the eyes. Oh my God, it's so good. It's a real testament to how far the character and the actor has come since day one, Phantom Menace.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you were to put the last shot of him as Obi-Wan next to the first shot of him, it would be a hell of a journey that character goes on.
And we're not even talking hair. The hair journey alone.
That's true.
From, like, buzz cut really to flowy locks.
And, like, I can handle the Padawan hair when it's not the wig.
Oh, I know.
You know, they brought him back in for the reshoots and they had that horrible wig that's the wrong color.
It's like the wig that he had to wear in the flashback scene in the Kenobi series with him and Hayden. When they were, in like the practice ring. That wig was so bad.
It was so bad. He looked like a newswoman.
We will forever call that, lovingly, the newswoman haircut. Oh my God.
I really feel like Ewan thrives on the scenes that are agony. I think his best acting comes out when the character is in pain. For some reason, when he's smiling or goofy,
seems awkward.
Yeah.
He is kind of like a trauma actor. He does really well with pain, which is great because that's Star Wars and you have to thrive in that environment.
Right. And it's really funny because he seems like a really, like, jolly person in real life. Like, he's always seems ready to laugh.
Yes. A little bit of a prankster.
Yeah. So the fact that he's, like, the best when he is, think of the You Are My Brother, Anakin. Like,
God.
That is just, it's such good acting. That whole sequence, like the pain he's in is just, so well performed.
The grief, the loss, he's literally staring loss in the face, loss of everything he believed in, loss of a generation of Jedi and multiple generations, the loss of everything he believed in. There's still Padme he's got to deal with because no one knows, like, is she dead? Yeah. Is she not dead? Etc. He's got to take care of that. It's just the loss of his best friend, obviously. I don't know. He's probably thinking of Qui-Gon in that moment, of course, because that was his responsibility given to Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan was then responsible and all hell broke loose. So,
yeah,
he summarizes it in one line. Just like Alec Guinness can do in one line. If you're a one-liner, yes, if you can steal it in one line, then you get A+ from me.
That scene now, especially. And, oh my God, the Kenobi scene, too.
Like, well, all
I
of this.
I can't even think of it without feeling sad.
I was going to bring up in the Alec Guinness episode. Well, we talked about it in last week's episode, how he is doing the final duel with Vader and he dies, right? And he looks over at Luke and Leia. And now we have this knowledge of his mm-hmm. relationship with Leia leading up to this from the Kenobi series. And just the way, you know, Ewan has children, but just the way that he interacts with this small girl.
Yeah.
It's so tender and wonderful. And it shows the compassion and the kindness he has. And it, you go back to, like, the Phantom Menace, and it's, what's this? Or what's that? You know? And it's, like, such a change.
Yes. It's so true. Oh, what a great point. It's so true. I mean, he even says that, Qui-Gon says he's going to go get Anakin and come back. Obi-Wan says, why do I sense we've picked up another pathetic life form? And then he says, I've never noticed this before. There's all these times where he's like, the boy is dangerous, Master. Why can't you see it? And Anakin's standing right there.
Yeah.
Obliviousness to the needs of a child.
Yeah.
And then to, like you said, come full circle with Leia. And he wasn't at first. He was really brusque with her and rough with her. And then he softened. And then there's that beautiful scene where she takes his hand.
I know. It's so, I just can't. It's so, they're just wonderful together on screen. And it really is lovely that Leia got time with Obi-Wan. Because we all know that Luke did.
Yeah.
And oh, it's really full circle with how she sends that message. And that's her first interaction with him after, mm-hmm. you know, if you should ever need me. Oh, God. God.
Yeah, that I think the scene with them together in that transport truck and they're just sitting in the back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think it's one of my favorite moments in all of Star Wars. And I'll never forget the first time watching it, just, first of all, captivated by how good the acting is from both of them. And to have it be filmed in, like, just close-ups, so it's very private and mm-hmm. intimate between these two characters. But then what he was saying also at the same time when she says, are you my father? And he said, I wish I could say I was, but I'm not. Like, he didn't have to say that.
No.
He could have just said, no, I'm not.
Right.
You know?
Right. He loved, like, those kids. He didn't even have to meet them.
Exactly. Oh, fuck.
He loved
so good.
He loved their parents. So he had a deep respect for Padme. And once upon a time, he did for Anakin too. And it goes back to Qui-Gon. And mm-hmm. Luke and Leia are so intertwined with Obi-Wan's past. What does Anakin tell Ahsoka in the series? Like, she's part of a lineage.
Mm-hmm.
It goes all the way back. Like, all the way to Qui-Gon.
Yeah. Beyond that, because it's Yoda, too, is part of that, right? Yoda, Dooku,
yes.
Qui-Gon, yes. Right? Am I remembering that correctly?
So the point here is Ewan brings all of this to the table.
Yeah, I mean, it's so complex. If you just watch it for entertainment, fine, it's entertaining. But if you think about what he had to do as an actor from a young age to where he is now, also kind of tying together Alec's performance plus Clone Wars emotion.
Yeah,
and it's a lot.
It's really sad. Obi-Wan's story is so sad. And there is that sadness in Ewan's face pretty much throughout most of the films. I can think of the moment where they're sitting at Qui-Gon's pyre and Obi-Wan turns to little Anakin. Mm-hmm. You know, and there was a reluctance, but he accepts that this is his fate now. And we talk about this when we talk about Obi-Wan all the time, is that he accepts his fate and goes forward with it, whether it's protecting Luke, protecting Leia in a sense. It's just so painful. His story is so wonderful and so painful.
Yeah. But there's also so much levity that he brings.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When people are like, what's your favorite Obi-Wan line from the prequels? Like, I cannot pick. There are so many that bring a smile to my face.
It's true. Yep.
And that are memeable.
Memeable. All the way. Even the non-memeable ones.
Yeah. So he brings a lot of charm to the character.
Yes. Yes.
And swagger. A lot of swagger.
Which he needs to have.
Yeah, because you have to believe it when he commands people, which I think Ewan McGregor could probably command anyone to do anything and they would obey.
Especially in that white Clone Wars armor, which we have not seen him in yet. We've gotten Anakin. We've gotten Hayden in Clone Wars armor. Next up it has to be Ewan in Clone Wars armor. I was waiting for him to be in that flashback scene, but we didn't get it. That's fine. It's fine. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. I really am. I just want to see Ewan in the white armor, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I just think of Point Rain. I know I'm fast forwarding to next week when we talk about James Arnold Taylor and the Clone Wars Obi-Wan. But you have to believe that what we see in the prequels, before we consider the Kenobi series, what we see in the prequels and then jump to what we see in the original trilogy, that everything in between is believable too. So the sequence of these actors makes it difficult to almost build a character because you're starting backwards, then jumping. Mm-hmm. So, and they all kind of have to work together, I believe, to represent one another. And it becomes a tangled web of Obi-Wan.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It's like the
meme.
It's Always Sunny and filled.
Yeah. The wall of intersecting lines of trying to, Palpatine's wall.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's Obi-Wan and the different actors trying to keep some sort of, what's the word?
Cohesion.
Like consistency. They're trying to keep some sort of cohesion between all of the various time frames, actors, ages, experience levels, and they're all still basing it off of Alec Guinness.
And then they all add a little something personal to it.
Yes.
So it just, the character just keeps on becoming embellished more and more, and it's probably why he's one of the best characters ever.
Absolutely. And I was gonna say, we don't really see Obi-Wan smile until Ewan gives Obi-Wan his smile.
Yeah, that's true. There's smirking from Alec Guinness, but it's not the same as like someone showing joy. That's different
is the word. Yes. And Ewan brings that light, the light in Obi-Wan forward, I think.
Yeah.
True joy.
Absolutely.
In the eyes, in the smile, his body language, which is why it makes it so much more difficult to watch the fall of it all and then the repercussions afterwards of the fall when we get to the Kenobi series. I mean, but then, you know, the final scenes of the Kenobi series, he is smiling, which is a testament to the character of Obi-Wan that he will always persevere and persist against all odds. There's always something to smile about. Tomorrow's a new day. Take one day at a time. And Obi-Wan's always done that very well, which is why we fucking love him.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it better myself.
And the hair, right? Ewan's got fantastic hair. Whether it's the buzz cut, the BG mullet, or the more refined gray tips in Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, yeah.
The slightly longer version in the Kenobi series. All of it's fabulous. Some less fabulous than others, but it's pretty fucking fabulous.
I mean, you can't deny that Ewan McGregor brought sex appeal to Star Wars.
Yeah. The way he fights in Attack of the Clones during that ring, the circle, the fighting with all the Jedi,
yeah.
The bugs. Oh, you know the gif.
Ovary exploding stuff there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We can't. We both just like drifted off.
Yeah. Okay, so we talked a lot about, you know, Ewan's performance as Obi-Wan, but he is in film after film after film after film. And we mentioned Moulin Rouge. So if you had to pick one or two of your favorite non-Star Wars Ewan performances, what would they be?
Oh, man, it's a really hard question.
It really is.
I love Beginners.
Yeah.
I think that movie is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so good in it. He also is really good, though, in this very obscure film, Last Days in the Desert, which
oh,
is
yeah.
actually about Jesus.
Yes.
Which is not what I would ever have picked Ewan McGregor. I would Jesus and Ewan McGregor, I would never put those in the same sentence together.
But he looks like Obi-Wan in that film, so it's okay, right?
He does. He really does. And people took footage from that when they did fan edits for Obi-Wan in the Desert all the time. But... his performance in that is fucking mind-blowing. It's so good.
Yes.
And I never pictured Ewan McGregor the entire time. Like, I didn't... You know when you're watching Tom Cruise, you're always aware you're watching Tom Cruise?
Yes.
As much as I love Tom Cruise. But
yes.
I feel like that with Ewan sometimes. I'm always just aware that it's Ewan. I didn't... Totally forgot it was him. It was such a good movie. And then for, like, a light movie, I love Down with Love. I really love that movie.
That movie is just so much fun. The design, the costumes, the time period that it evokes. I just love that. Yeah, it's a really fun movie. I do enjoy that one.
There's a great outtake from it, too, where he's like, who am I? And someone else says, Obi-Wan.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
What about you? Besides Moulin Rouge.
Oh, Moulin Rouge is number one. Always and forever. But I really like Trainspotting, but even more so, I loved Trainspotting 2 because he's older.
Oh, I never saw the sequel.
It's really good. The original characters come back. They reprise their roles. It's actually quite a good performance because of the positions that all these characters are now in, having grown up, you know. But it's so kind of iconic Ewan, but I really do enjoy his performance in those. I also love Beginners just because it's painful and beautiful and everything. But Dr. Sleep.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Really? As a Stephen King fan.
I've heard it's really good.
It's pretty good. It's not like my favorite, but I do love it because I'm a Stephen King fan and it kind of just comes with the territory that you have to kind of watch it. You have to watch it. So
right.
But wasn't he in Winnie the Pooh or something? Didn't you watch that?
Yeah, Christopher Robin.
Christopher Robin.
I forgot about that.
I haven't seen that. And I can't because I'll cry because I grew up on Winnie the Pooh. And Eeyore's like my favorite character ever. Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, yeah.
I can't watch it though because I will cry. I know you said it's charming and you know, but I know myself.
Yeah, so. No, you do cry. You're supposed to.
I know, but like,
I definitely you definitely cry, but I also laughed so hard in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was so funny and like because of Jim Cummings, that's a huge part of it and all the animals. Like Ewan is not the comic relief, although there is a really funny scene where he's afraid to speak to his neighbor. And I'm like, that is me. That's how I act when I have to talk to people.
I don't talk to my neighbors either. Isn't that weird?
I don't know. It kind of puts you on the spot. You can't escape your neighbors.
I know.
If you... Yeah. So I... Oh, man. I love that movie. And is it Hayley Atwell? Is that her name?
Mm.
She plays his wife. Mm. And she's the one who's from the Avengers. She's Peggy Carter, I
think? Oh, yeah, absolutely. She's beautiful. Yes, Peggy Carter, yes. Steve Rogers' girl.
Yeah, she's gorgeous and she's...
So she's
They're just really
movie?
Great together.
Really?
Yeah, she plays his wife.
I'll be damned. Mm. I love her.
Yeah. Oh, and the daughter... I'm just... Sorry, pardon my trivia. The daughter in Christopher Robin, Ewan's daughter, is Mon Mothma's daughter in Andor.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
And I was like, wow, You went from being very sweet to a huge bitch.
Yeah, well, there's diversity. It runs in the family, right? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. There's so many good Ewan moments. And he's so good in all of them. But he's our Obi-Wan for this chapter, yeah. Anyway.
For better or worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we answered. Now it's your turn to answer. What is your favorite non-Star Wars Ewan McGregor movie? We know. It's hard.
It is.
If you can't pick just one, pick a few and just let us know. Tell us which one and why.
Okay, well, continuing in the Obi-Wan Kenobi actors series, we're going to Clone Wars next. And we're...
Woo!
And we're talking James Arnold Taylor, one of our personal favorites, a friend of the show. And we're going to talk about what he brings to the table as Obi-Wan. And he's got a lot of material. Seven seasons plus.
Well, and I guess also the micro series, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Lego Obi-Wan also.
Yeah. And I mean, countless other voice acting characters that are not Obi-Wan. Yeah. So this talented man will be the subject of next week's episode. So please join us back here.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Most Things Kenobi podcast. We appreciate every single one of our patrons and are grateful for your support. If you'd like to support the podcast and become a patron as well, head over to the Most Things Kenobi Patreon. As always, you can follow us on Tumblr, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, and don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast player. If you enjoy our podcast, feel free to rate us on Spotify and Apple. And if you need just one place to find all of these, head over to mostthingskenobi.com.
So, until next time, my space twin, may the Force be with you.
Always.